Welcome to the Jubilee Plus podcast.
In today's episode, Natalie Williams takes comfort from the character of Peter in the Bible, learning from his mistakes and looking at the beautiful mercy Jesus shows him in response.
I've been reflecting in the last few weeks on just how honest, how wonderfully honest the Bible is about the people of God and how often they get it wrong, how often they make mistakes, how often they just completely mess it up. In fact, how often they do the exact opposite of what God tells them to do and wants them to do. The other day I was reading about Moses in Exodus 4, and God's basically giving him this great call on his life and saying, I want you to rescue my people. And Moses is like, oh God, please will you send someone else? Not the response that God wanted from him. You know, not wholehearted and quick obedience, but instead, God, please let someone else do it. Please get someone else, God. And it says that God was angry with Moses. But what I find really interesting is it says that God's anger was kindled against Moses. But the very first thing God then says is, well, how about Aaron then? He can go with you. So although God was angry at the response of Moses and the fact that Moses didn't want to go and he wanted someone else to go, at the same time, God did answer his request. He did do what Moses said. He said, I'll send someone with you then. Aaron can go with you. But probably of all the people in the Bible, the one I'm most encouraged about is Peter. Simon Peter in the Gospels. Just how often he gets it wrong and how kind and merciful Jesus is to him every single time. I love that in Matthew 16, we get to read this account of where Jesus says to his disciples, well, who do you say I am? And Simon Peter rushes in. You're the Christ. You're the Son of God. You know, A plus for Peter, for getting the answer right, for declaring it, proclaiming it. And Jesus says to him, you're right, and on this rock, on you, I will build my church. It's an incredible call on the life of Peter, this disciple who just gets it wrong so much of the time. And Jesus is saying, on this rock, I'm going to build my church. And just a few short verses later, we read that Jesus starts telling the disciples about how he's going to die, how he's going to be given over into the hands of people who are going to kill him. And Simon Peter, again, quick to rush in. It actually says that he rebukes Jesus. Simon Peter tells Jesus off, and Jesus says to him, get behind me, Satan. You're a hindrance to me. How can Peter go from knowing exactly who Jesus is to then rebuking Jesus when Jesus says, this is what I've come to do? It's incredible, and I find it so reassuring because it's so like me. Like one minute proclaiming, Jesus, you're my Lord, I'll do anything for you, and the next minute just making a stupid decision or just saying something that I regret or doing something that I regret. And I love the fact that then we read about Peter, this just painful moment for him where he denies Jesus. Jesus predicts that he'll deny him, and Peter says, I never will. And then he denies him three times. And it says that Peter wept bitterly. Wept. Can you imagine the sorrow of it? I've been trying to really put my own imagination into that place of, what would it have been like to have walked with Jesus for those 3 years or so, to have seen him perform all those miracles, to have been alongside him, hearing his teaching, seeing him proclaim forgiveness of sins, seeing how he interacted with people who were despised and rejected. And yet, here we have Peter and he denies even knowing him. And imagine when the cock crowed, when the rooster crowed, it must have been heartbreaking for Peter to suddenly be confronted with his own sinfulness, to suddenly be confronted with his own frailty, his own weakness, his own humanity. He must have been utterly brokenhearted. But actually, when Peter hears that Jesus has been raised from the dead, we read about him running to find out more. So when the women come and they say he's not in the tomb, Peter runs to see if it's real. Even though the disciples think the women must be mad or they're not telling the truth or they must be mistaken, Peter runs to the tomb to find out. And then at the end of John's Gospel, we read this beautiful account of the mercy of Jesus towards Peter. Peter's out fishing on a boat, and when he realizes that Jesus is on the beach, it says he threw himself. He threw himself off the boat. Peter must have known the character of Jesus to have done that. Because so often I know when I know I've done something wrong, when I'm weeping bitterly about my sin or mistakes I've made or my flaws or my weaknesses, sometimes I struggle to think about running to Jesus. Sometimes I come maybe cautiously. In the past, I often ran from Jesus at those times. I think I've learned better than that these days, but to run to Jesus after having denied him. And also it says that when Peter denied Jesus three times, it says Jesus turned and looked at him. Imagine that look. I wonder what that look was. For Peter, it would have been heartbreaking, but I bet in Jesus' eyes was a look of mercy and love and commitment. Because Peter threw himself off the boat to get to Jesus. And then it's just so beautiful when Jesus asks Peter three times, "Do you love me?" This full reinstatement of Peter. He gives him an opportunity three times to reaffirm his love for him, to almost undo or rewind or counteract the three denials that Peter has made. Jesus asks him three times. It's like as if each one is cancelling out each denial that Peter made. But what's also so beautiful is that after each time of Peter saying, "Yes, I love you, Lord," or "Yes, you know I love you, Lord," Jesus then says, "Feed my sheep," or "tend my sheep," or "feed my lambs." Each time he says something that basically reaffirms the call on Peter's life, that Peter hasn't irrevocably blown it, that Peter hasn't done irreparable damage to the call of God on his life, but actually even in denying Jesus three times, even in refusing to associate with Jesus those three times, even with probably the heartbreak that came after that, where Peter must have thought, "What have I done?" Actually, when Jesus reinstates him, he says, "You're still the rock on which I'm going to build my church. I still want you to feed my people. I still want you to feed my sheep." And I just think it's beautiful and amazing and a wonderful example of the mercy of God. Such comfort to those of us who are ever so familiar with our own frailty, our own weakness, our own sinfulness. And so as we get to ponder this merciful Jesus, the one who is merciful even to the likes of Moses and Peter, just what a brilliant opportunity for us to reflect on that, to be saturated in it, and to let it so be deeply kind of kneaded into us. I don't know if kneaded is a word, but that's what I've been praying recently about, God kneading, like kneading dough, like kneading things deep into my heart, into my spirit. In the same way, like we just have an opportunity this week for that to be deeply worked into our hearts, souls and minds, so that we might be more grateful for the mercy that we've been shown, the incredible, astonishing mercy that we have been shown, but also that we might then astonish others by showing them that same mercy that God has shown to us. So have a good week and enjoy being merciful just as your Father is merciful this week.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode in our Tis Mercy All series. Don't forget to subscribe or leave a review. And if you'd like to find out more about the work of Jubilee Plus, visit jubilee-plus.org or follow the link in our show notes. Of your wing, underneath the shelter of your